Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Woo woo! Good Tuesday morning, everybody. Hope you're having
a great
start to your Tuesday morning. LZ gave you a little playlist for your Memorial Day weekend. Cookout in the backyard, little drink suggestion from Key, a little to-go plate. I like it, guys. Are you guys all having your cookout, your little social distancing cookouts this weekend?
Man, I ain't really even decided what I'm doing. I haven't gotten there yet. I'm still...
It's coming up, Key. You better get on it.
I know, but it's just one of those deals where I just haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah, I went to the store yesterday to do a preliminary run. You know? Because, you know, you got to make multiple trips, Travis. So you make the first run, you go, okay, I'm going to do some beef ribs.
Ooh, the big ones.
Yeah. Looking like Freddie Rubble.
Fred Flintstone and Barney Rubble, not Freddie Rubble.
Freddie Rubble.
That's a
composite. Man, you know, poor cows, man. What's wrong with you?
What are you talking about,
man? They're pretty yummy.
It's yummy, man. Shoot, you got to get it right. Got to get the crab cakes. You know, got to get some mahi-mahi because it grills well. It holds its consistency well on the grill.
It doesn't fall apart,
exactly.
You're going to have to throw together a Chef Boyardee before the weekend to give people a little bit of a heads up.
I might be able to do that, but I can't kill any cows.
Well, not asking you to go out there and butcher the thing. You can. They're pre-portioned in the grocery store. You just have to go pick it up.
It's ridiculous that LZ is doing these things.
All right. Yo, how about this? This day in sports history, 1996, Michael Jordan won his fourth MVP award. Here's the question that I have, fellas. Mm-hmm. Michael Jordan won that award with 96.5% of the vote. I want to know who the 3.5% of the people that didn't vote for him are. How does that happen?
Well, it's the same thing that didn't get Jeter his 100%. Some one dude. It was one cat. That's what journalists do, though. They got some sort of, I don't know, man, thing against you, and they do that. They hide behind their notepad and their little computer.
I wonder if it was like a Sports Illustrated journalist after Mike.
Oh, that was still upset about the baseball.
Well, yeah. Well, Mike said, "I'm not speaking to you ever again." Right.
Yeah, but even if it was a Sports Illustrated guy, like, you ain't gonna be a Sports Illustrated forever. You just working at the company now. What that mean? Did they tell everybody if you vote him in, we're gonna fire you?
Well, no, it's such a bad look. I mean, because look,
it is a bad look.
I get that maybe you have a personal difference with this guy, but when we're talking about guys like Michael Jordan, there is no other choice for MVP in the middle of these things. If you do it, you're not hurting Michael Jordan. You're just making yourself look ridiculous.
But in his mind, LZ can speak to this. LZ's done these things before. In his mind, though, he thinks he's hurting you. In his mind, right, LZ?
Well, you don't get the satisfaction of saying I was unanimous MVP. And that ultimately went to Steph, you know, eventually, who has a great relationship with the media, blah, 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 blah. But I will say that I've always have felt as if there was a conflict of interest for the people who are covering to be voting on these things. I've always felt that way. I know I may be in the minority with this, but I just feel that that should be left to, like, the executives or the GMs or the coaches or something
like
that.
But wouldn't they have
an axe to grind. It's a difficult process. You don't want the fans to do it. You definitely don't want the fans to do it because they're stupid. No offense, fans, but you said Shaq was better than Kareem. So after that point, I mean, what are we going to do? You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, I felt that was an issue with journalists, but I feel it's that way with players. I feel like it's that way with everyone. There is no perfect way to do this.
I think a better way to do it is you got to put your name on it. You know what I mean? That a lot of these things, and some have gotten better over the years than others. We do have some transparency that we didn't used to have. But if I'm the guy that's going to pick somebody other than Michael Jordan and I have to sign my name to it, that might prevent me from doing it.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, I don't know. If I'm voting for somebody and he deserves an award, despite how I might feel about that individual, I'm probably going to vote for him anyway. I mean, it's just if it comes down to the players, you know, if I felt like he disrespected me or whatever the case may be, I'm probably going to vote for him anyway and keep it moving.
But you know what's even worse than the all of that? 96 was the year they broke the record. Like they went, like they won 70 games. Like there really wasn't a conversation.
No, but it was, you have it all wrong. But it wasn't, you have it all wrong. They lost 12.
It had nothing to do with Michael Jordan. It was all Dennis Rodman.
Right.
That's the, right. Like of all the years, like you could make an argument that Charles Barkley deserved to be MVP. You could make an argument that Karl Malone deserved to be MVP. You can kind of make an argument for that. But the year that they win 70 games, there just isn't a discussion.
No, it's sign your name to it. That'll help a little bit. I don't know if it fixes it completely, but it will help. All right. So yesterday, the governors of New York, California, and Texas all said that they believe that their states are going to be ready to host pro sports sometime near the beginning of June. Now, obviously, there's going to have to be a ramp-up period. We saw that the Lakers got back in their facility over the weekend. We're seeing more NBA teams, more NFL teams are getting ready to go back into their facilities as well once everybody is. But it, never mind when it's going to happen, because it feels like it's going to happen eventually. It's just a matter of figuring out the timing. But trying to catch up on all of this, every sport is a little bit different, because let's talk about the NBA right now. Trying to, if you are the Lakers or the Clippers and you were absolutely cranking, if you're the Milwaukee Bucks and you're cranking, and all of a sudden you have to get ready to go play basketball again. And I guess it depends at least a little bit on, are we going to play 10 regular season games to finish the regular season? Do we jump straight into the playoffs? But you can go run in the gym and get your wind, and you can go and work on your sets in a gym. But that's very different than playing games. If we just hit the gas and all of a sudden we're playing games again after the better part of, you know, it might be 90 days by the time they're back on the court, that's going to be an incredibly jarring transition.
But I don't think they're going, you know, I know what you're saying, but I don't think they're going to just hit the gas. I think there's going to be some preparation that's put into play. They're going to have some rust in those first several games, whether it's directly to the playoffs or whether it's resuming the regular season or shortened regular season or whatever the case is. You're going to have some bumps and bruises along the way. It's going to have some turbulence, but that is just because guys have been sitting out. It's not just the Lakers. It's going to be whoever else is in that playoff hunt. And then you catch fire. One thing I can for surely tell you, a lot of times with professional athletes in particular, is they can hit the button like that and go. And I still, again, I'm still better than you. I'm the Lakers. I'm still better than you. I'm the Clippers. I'm still better than you. I'm the 76. Like, teams are still going to be better than everybody else in a series. Now, if you're talking about one game, then that's different. But when you're talking about five games, seven game series, those teams that are supposed to be better are usually better, especially in basketball. You very rarely get an upset in the playoffs in basketball.
Yeah, I don't know if that's necessarily true, that you rarely. I mean, I think we've seen enough upsets to make it like, you know, it happens enough.
Yeah, but when the Lakers are favored and the Clippers are favored – and who else is favored in the East?
Milwaukee.
Boston. Like, they're not getting popped by the 8th seed, man. It ain't not, just not happening.
But I agree with you, generally speaking, Key, but this is when you've had the normal flow of an 82-game season. Everybody is in
It don't
in
matter
rhythm.
If it's
Everybody's
a normal flow or not, but it don't
sure
matter
does.
If it's – no, it doesn't, because
and
my
Key,
team is better than yours.
90 days.
You don't have LeBron James and Kawhi Leonard and Giannis.
I understand that. But if we take a 90-day break, and I understand there's going to be a training camp of some sort, that they're not just going to roll in and crack their knuckles and start a game. I get that. But when you have a 90-day break, God only knows what it's going to look like when you come out of it. It could
understand.
Be a
no,
really weird situation.
I get it. I get what you guys are saying. But the one thing is my players are better than yours. And my players are better than yours for a reason. It's because they're more talented, they're coached better, they prepare better, they're just better. I mean, that's just the reality of it. Now, the second round, the third round, all that sort of stuff is something different. But when you're talking about the first round, it's just not, you know, every now and then you catch a team here and there. Maybe somebody gets a lucky break. But for the most part, I think we're going to be okay as far as the top seeds go.
I mean, certainly, you know, in the first round, you can see a lack of maybe, you know, upsets, to Key's point. But after that, I wouldn't be surprised if you saw a string of upsets because.
Yeah,
of
but Rams. Even after that, though, they're already in it, though. At that point, you back up the speed. At that point, you back up the speed.
The truth is, none of us really know what's going to happen because this is unprecedented. And what we can look at as the closest example, as far as I'm concerned, is look at the teams, the veteran teams that get off the fast starts, and look at the veteran teams that don't get off the fast starts. Because, you know, if you think about the offseason being all the summer, and then they start to ramp it up, and then the season starts, you know, I think you see a separation from youth, you see a separation from experience. But there are some championship teams that took a slow start. And well, we don't know what this Laker team is going to be because this is unprecedented for this squad.
Think about this. You hear this a lot in baseball, that guys are slow starters, guys are fast starters. Some guys are one, some guys are the other. But you hear the slow starters in particular always go with the same thing. Look, yeah, I'm not hitting great in April. Don't worry about that. By the time we get to the end of the season, my numbers are going to be where they've always been. But if you take away the beginning part of the season, then all of a sudden all you have is a very short window, a slow start puts you behind the eight ball, and you're cooked. That's it. Your team isn't going to be able to recover from it. I know that basketball is a little bit different, but if you have a bad couple of nights just because you haven't played any games, or you have a bad series, or you're shot just isn't falling, because we know how the ebb and flow of this goes. Sometimes you can't miss, and sometimes you can't throw one in the ocean. If you have a bad window in this, it's really, really difficult to recover from it because there's just no room on the backside. So if I'm Frank Vogel or Doc Rivers or any of these things, am I just going into this ramp up to return to the season like training camp that we're just going to, hey, we're going to start, we're going to see what it looks like? Or do you try to accelerate the process because there are the margins for error, the margins for slow starts, the margins for, hey, we'll figure this out are virtually non-existent?
Well, I would say that you going into when they come out, you know, or going into training camp or whatever you want to call it, I believe that you install or you practice the same way you was practicing during the regular season, and then you roll into the playoffs that way. However, whatever that is, if that means that you have to have more 5-on-5 scrimmages against each other, If for whatever reason you don't play an opponent, that's what you do. And you turn up the gas at that point in time to get ready for your next step, which would be the playoffs. I doubt that they would do the NBA teams like that. They probably would prefer to have some sort of, you know, 5, 6, 7 games to go before the playoffs. Now, I don't know how they would count them on your regular season record or whatever the case is, but I doubt that they just roll them right into the playoff format. They want to give them something of some sort of live ammunition so they could be ready.
The question is, will it be, you know, de facto sort of, preseason games that don't count, or will they still be regular season games that actually do count?
Well, that's what I just said.
No, but which of the two? Like,
if they count, I mean, if they count,
do you approach them differently?
Who's going
to
get caught?
It's more just to get the rhythm, right? It's more just to get your legs, to get the rhythm, to get the feel. Most of the seeding of this stuff has been predetermined. And even if they count or don't count, I'm going to use them as a little lab to figure out exactly where I am, especially if I'm a team like the Lakers or Clippers, because my positioning is secured.
But there's a whole bunch of other teams that whose positioning is not secure. That's why I'm asking, are these games going to count or not? They greatly impact, you know, the seeding. I'm looking at right now, Oklahoma City, Houston both have 40. Dallas has 40. The Utah Jazz has 41. The Denver Nuggets has 43. The Clippers got 44. So we play 5 games. The Clippers could very well fall from the second seed down to the 7th seed, depending upon what happens. So the question of do these games count or not directly impact the postseason as well.
All right, it's time for another morning show snake draft. We saw Michael Jordan in The Last Dance, one of the famous bald men of all time. We're picking bald guys. Coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. All right, so The Last Dance is in the books, all 10 episodes. We got to relive Michael Jordan's greatness all over again. Of course, Michael Jordan, for most of his career, was the bald-headed Michael Jordan, which brings us to the snake draft for today, Raj. Most famous bald guys, right?
Or your favorite bald guy. Yeah, just whatever you want. It could be a bald girl. You know, hint, hint, couple there. But, coming off the Michael Jordan and the baldness, He and Barkley, I think, were the first to make it popular in the NBA. So I was curious what your favorite bald guys, girls were. And Travis, you have the first pick. Of course, you're trying to catch up. LZ has four victories, Key with three, and Travis with only two. So why don't we give you the first pick, Trav? Try and help you out a little bit.
Well, I will certainly take it. And I'm going to take the most obvious guy on the board, the guy that we just watched for the last month and a half. I will take Michael Jordan.
Okay. All right. Number one pick. That's the easy one. Off the boards there, LZ. That brings us to you. Of course, you have the lead with four of them. So who will you take here in the middle?
Oh, man. I'm going to go with Samuel Jackson.
Okay. He's bald now. Yep.
Now? He's been bald for so long.
No, he had the Jerry curl. He had the Jerry curl man, coming to America.
He's been so damn bald for so long, I forgot he had hair.
It's Samuel Jackson, of course. Okay, he's second. So, Key, that comes to you, and you have two picks because you know what this is.
It's the snake draft.
It's a snake draft.
That's right. That's right. A little more enthusiastic will help, but that's okay. Go ahead, Key. You got two picks. What are you doing there?
Is it longevity, popularity? What are we looking for here?
Your favorite. That could be all those things included, whatever you like.
Favorite. Well.
Most influential, anything like that.
I mean, you got to think that. You got to think that a guy like the Diesel's been bald-headed since day one. And that's
okay.
Shaq. Have you ever seen Shaq with hair?
He had a little fade in the beginning. Yeah. Little fade in the Orlando days.
He sure did. But for the most part, we know the Diesel was bald.
Yeah, most of the highlights are bald, Shaq. Yeah. Okay, got you there.
Jordan had hair.
That's true. Yeah, but that's okay. That's okay. What's your second
pick?
Well,
we all had hair once upon a time.
My second pick.
I don't like to think about this. Let's get it going.
No, calm down, little fella. All right. My second pick will be Bruce Willis.
Ooh, I like that. Yes. Bruce Willis. Okay. I just saw, what was it called? Leapers. Leapers for the first time. A little time travel movie. Yeah, it wasn't bad, man. I was not watching out there. Art, Sarah, everybody watching it. It was fun. All right, LZ, that brings us back to you for your second pick.
I'm on that.
Bruce Willis. And Bruce Willis, by the way, the first Caucasian off the board, just to give you a little thing there. First Caucasian off the board, Bruce Willis.
All right, I'm going to go with the second Caucasian. I'm going to go with Kojak.
Ooh, that's my favorite right there. That's the first one I knew of. Yeah, Kojak. That's right. All right, God bless the dead. Kojak, our first dead person off the board as well. First dead person off the board. That brings us to you, Travis, for back-to-back picks, because you know what this is, how we do it.
It's a snake draft.
That's right. What do you got?
All right, so I'll keep the run of bald white guys alive. I'll take a white guy as well. I'm going to go with some power. I'm going to go with some big dollars, some deep pockets. I'm going to take Steve Ballmer with my next choice.
Ooh, look at you.
Look at you.
That's clever. Okay.
Very, very clever.
So I'll take Steve Ballmer there. And then so I've got my famous athlete. I've got my famous tech guy / billionaire in Steve Ballmer. I'm going to go a little more spiritual. I'm going to get nice and zen through this whole thing. I'm going to take the Dalai Lama with my
friend. Damn it. I hate you and your intelligence, Travis. I hate you and your intelligence.
Guys, we still got a lot of in the music industries out there, a lot of bald music people out there. So that brings us to you, LZ. It looks like one of your picks were stolen. In front of you. That's right. Who are you going with your third pick, LZ?
All right. My third pick is going to go with the guy. We said that, you know, we all start off with hair at one point. I'm not quite sure if this is true of this person because we've seen this person for multiple decades, and I never recall seeing a full head of hair, and that would be Charlie Brown.
He's got that one little squiggle at the top.
Our first animated character off the board of Charlie Brown. Sneaky pick. Sneaky. Remember the Charlie Brown shoes back in the day?
Oh yeah. I still got a pair of Vans.
That's right. All right, Key, that brings us to you with your third and fourth pick, because you get two picks because you know what it is.
Well, this
it's a snake draft.
This in particular person failed at one thing in professional sports and decided that football was not his calling card. And now he's jumping in the ring, and he's nice and muscular, and he has tattoos, and people just go crazy for whatever they call his sex appeal, I guess, whatever the case may be. The light-skinned brother in Dwayne, The Rock Johnson.
Oh, nice. Solid good pick choice. There, The Rock. Can't go wrong with The Rock. All right, and then finally your last pick, Key. What do you got?
Well, you know, Travis, you know, you went very rich on me, very, very rich, like so rich that I had to find me a wealthy guy that I needed to obviously put myself with. And that wealthy guy is the richest man in the entire world, I think, unless somebody has passed him over in the last 24 hours, and that would be one's Amazon own, Jeffrey Bezos.
Did you see where he's on track to become the world's first trillionaire?
Yeah, well, that's why I picked
that's
him.
A thing.
Because I'm going to buy all y'all picks with his money.
All right, we're in the just about done
see,
with
if
the
I was
bald
him,
guy snake
if
draft.
I was him, I'd go buy. If I was him, I'd just say, you know what? You know, I want the Rams and the Chargers. How much is it going to take? I'll give me both.
Give me both. Two for one deal. All right, LZ, here you go. Your final pick. What do you got there?
My final pick in the draft, I've gone actor, I've gone TV show fame character, I've gone cartoon. Now I'm going to go baddest woman on the block. Give me Amber Rose.
Ooh, nice one. So I knew you were going to go woman. I didn't know if you would go Sinead O'Connor or maybe Grace Jones, but okay. All right. I like Amber. You know, I'm a big fan.
I know you're a big fan. I'm banking on other big fans.
Big fans of certain aspects of the body. That's right.
Amber
all right, Travis, that brings us to you.
You
wrap
lost.
It up for us. Wrap it up. Who are you taking for your favorite bald person draft?
All right, so I got my basketball player in Michael. I've got my super rich guy in Steve Ballmer. I've got my spirituality covered with the Dalai Lama. So I'm going to find a guy that is both an athlete, that is a super rich guy, and a guy that just has the most pleasant, awesome way about him, one that everybody in the world likes. I'm going to take Magic Johnson with my last pick.
Okay. Magic Johnson. Okay, Gary, a lot of heavy L.A. basketball, L.A., you're all over with that one. Okay, so that's the final pick there. And just to wrap it up, Travis takes Michael Jordan, of course, who this bald guy draft is famed after, Steve Ballmer, Dalai Lama, and Magic Johnson. LZ takes Samuel Jackson, Kojak, going way back with that, Charlie Brown, the first and only animated guy here, and Amber Rose, the only woman ticking off the block, but I like that pick, Amber Rose. And, of course, Key takes Shaquille O'Neal, Bruce Willis, The Rock, and Amazon owner Jeffrey Bezos. Is that how you say his last name, Bezos?
It's however he wants it said. He's a trillionaire.
Okay.
He gets
Benzo.
It his way.
Good luck
to him. And, of course, you can go to social media where Janice will put up the picks, and you can vote on Twitter. Give us your pick for the favorite bald person. Back to you, Travis.
All right, we're all talking about Michael Jordan, including Allen Iverson, who's got a great story about when he ran into MJ for one of the first times. That's coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So, at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now, it's our turn to share with the GEICO Giveback, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
All right, don't forget that John Ireland and myself, we're going to do Ireland versus Travis Part 2. That is coming up on Saturday. The winner gets a day off. The loser has to double dip and host both shows, both Mason and Ireland and The Morning Show. It's happening this Saturday, Black Gold Golf Club in Yorba Linda. Thanks to the guys out there for hosting us. And you can watch hole-by-hole coverage. That's coming up on our social media accounts at ESPN Los Angeles. A very big thank you to our friends at Travis Matthew. They are introducing TM Rewards. It's their way of rewarding their customers for their loyalty, free shipping, and returns on all purchases. You can sign up for that at TravisMatthew.com today. And, of course, our social media will have that at ESPN Los Angeles, which reminds me, guys, happy birthday to Janice Garcia, who, of course, does all of our fantastic social media here as well. So happy birthday, Janice. Celebrate responsibly with social distancing, but have a great time.
Happy birthday, Janice.
Get turned up.
Chris.
Feliz cumpleaños.
Hey.
So happy birthday.
Yeah, make sure you're social distancing. You're not looking like them people walking on the boardwalk yesterday.
Which boardwalk?
It was one that it was one of these boardwalks here in California.
They had a great, there's a video that went viral last night, Key, from down here where I live near in Dana Point, where some lady didn't want to wear her mask in Gelson's and she got into it with the manager. We're wonderful when we don't get the things that we want, aren't we?
You are wonderful. Yeah. When you say we, I already know when you say Dana Point, it wasn't us. So I ain't worried about that.
Well, in this particular case,
there was a boardwalk, right, though. I don't know if it was Venice or somewhere, and it looked like people were coming out of the Coliseum after a USC loss. It was one of those deals where it was people, they were just roaring out of the place. I was like, are y'all serious right now? I guess they didn't care. Oh, you know what it was? It was the Jersey Boardwalk in New Jersey. That's what it was. It looked crazy to me. It was so crazy. Then it would show the party us, as you can imagine. We had a huge party down in Florida. Down in South Florida area, where we was at a park or something, but it was a bunch of us, and we was no social distancing, nowhere in sight.
Look, nobody's got a monopoly on doing this irresponsibly at this point. You can find a picture of just about anybody not social distancing. It's really weird, guys, how different it is, because I went out and played golf this weekend, and there's just those moments you're kind of doing things normally, then you remember, oh, I'm standing a little too close to this guy, I gotta move away. It's just a totally different dynamic.
But the thing is I know that already. Like I'm like when I move around and I go places, I'm conscious of stepping away and doing. I get it. I'm like, you know, you go ahead and go. I'm not in a rush. You can go right in front of me. If you're not in a rush to get there, go right ahead. I'll move to the side. I was getting my car washed the other day, and because the car washes are open out this way, and so, you know, they did the mask and the gloves and the whole deal, and they're washing your cars. And each car after they wash, they have to take the gloves off and throw them away and the whole deal. So, you know, me, I asked the dude. I said, "Say, man, did you change your damn gloves? Because I've been watching you. It don't look like you changed them." And the other dude was like, no, we make them change them. Because I'm like, you know, I'm paying attention.
Change them again.
You know, come on, Travis, you already know me. You speak for me. I said, change them again right here, dog. He was like, you want me to change? I said, yeah, change them for me, man. Just change them for me. It's cool. Just change them. He changed them right in front of me.
I like the pause that happens when you're encountering someone down an aisle in the grocery store.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a game of chicken. You make eye contact, and then you quickly don't make eye contact. And then you try to, like, walk by each other. And neither one of us, and I don't know for you guys, but neither one of us want to look like we're overreacting. But at the same time, we're scared to death. And so we're, like, basically knocking canned goods over in the aisle, trying to get by each other while trying to act like it's all normal. I like the dance. You know, I'm going to miss that dance.
Do you guys have, like, the traffic flow all mapped out in your grocery stores? Like, now the aisles are one way, and if you're going the wrong way, you're like the worst guy in art.
Travis, I gave this woman a side eye that could have killed the army because she was going down the wrong way in the aisle, and I just gave her, like, one of those looks like, you know, you see that arrow, you're in my way.
Yeah, we got the arrows. We got the arrows and some of the restaurants, curbside restaurants and things like that. You know, you can sit outside in some areas. You can order the food, pick it up, and then they have the little patio sections. But they got, like, man, I'm talking like 10 feet in between. So I just happened to wait while I was getting my food one day. A couple of days ago, I was waiting on the guy to bring it to me. Man, the dude done moved the damn table closer to the other people's table. I was like, you know, I didn't say nothing. I just looked. I was like, the man got the red X on the floor for a reason with the table right there. But, you know, people just feel like they're entitled.
Oh, everybody thinks that whatever they've got to do is most important. I was standing in line at the grocery store last night, kind of at the stop sign before they let you go into the actual checkout aisle. And this lady just muscles past. I just need to ask a question real quick. Well, wonderful, ma'am, but you understand that you're basically standing in my back pocket right now to go ask your question. Why don't you wait your turn like everybody else?
It's amazing. It has just been so amazing watching this sense of entitlement kind of play out in the midst of this pandemic and what people are willing to fight for and what they're not. And, you know, my favorite thing, of course, is just watching all the people with the masks on, but their nose are hanging out. And I'm just like, that's not how it works. That's just not this stuff.
Yeah, I don't think they understand the idea of the mask in the first place. I'll send you a video that I saw, LZ, about that that I can't talk about on the radio. We'll do that a little bit later. Michael Jordan, of course, notorious trash talker, one of the best of all time, and really did not have a ton of interest in connecting with the new guys coming into the league, at least not at first. Here's Allen Iverson talking about when he ran into Jordan for one of the first times.
The first time I ever talked to him was that year playing in the rookie game.
That was the year they did the top 50 of all time.
Oh, dude. Okay.
Yeah, where they had the jackets on that. And I saw him walking through. I'll never forget it because he said, "What's up, you little?" I'll never forget it. I looked at him like, "All right, man."
What do you say back to that? Because it's somebody you really rock with.
Nothing.
You just got to eat that, right?
Nothing. And then, like, I remember one time I was telling him how much I rock with him, and he was like, "Man, you wouldn't rock with me like that because you wouldn't cross me like that."
Right, you wouldn't hit me with that crossover.
I always knew that once I got to the league, I was going to try my move on the best. So he was just a victim that night.
So that's Iverson saying the first time he ran into Michael looked at him and said, "What's up, you little blankety blank?" And that is perfectly Iverson because he knew he was going to drop his move on him. And it's perfectly Michael, like from the jump, he was going to make sure that you knew he was Michael Jordan and you weren't.
Well, I mean, if you AI, though, you are, you know, you ain't MJ, but you got something for him. You're going to respect him, but you're going to want that respect back. And I think at the end of the day, you know, when you arrive and you go to All-Star games and you with the top dudes, when you get to your first opportunity, you're like, "Oh, yeah, I'm here too. We on the same, you know, we even though you might be bigger, but we on the same level right now because we both at the All-Star game. We both getting ready to do this." So, you know, I can certainly see what AI ain't going to, you know, he ain't going to bite his tongue. He shouldn't.
No,
he was dumbstruck. He had nothing to say back.
You respect him at the same time, but you're going to give him that work when you get a chance. It's like anybody else. You facing a defensive back that's cold, that been shutting dudes down. It's like, "I'm going to give you that work when I see you, though. I ain't them. I'm different. I'm built different. I'm built way different. We don't even talk like that. I'm built different. But when I see you, I'm going to do something to you." And you respect them, but they know they're going to have a tough out.
It's so funny that, you know, as the obviously with The Last Dance and everyone's talking about their encounters and, you know, AI's talking about the All-Star game and LeBron now, you know, shared his story of meeting him when he was like on the floor playing basketball at 16 years old. See, I'm in my head thinking, you playing basketball with some of the greatest players of all time at 16 years old? No wonder you turned out to be that dude. But the other thing, too, is just the way that very much like with AI, you know, they made LeBron sit and wait. He said for more than an hour before he could even play. He just had to just sit there and wait till he got next until one of the veterans got tired. And we forget because AI, Bron, and so many others are, you know, they're made men now. But once upon a time, they were nobodies. And they were treated like nobodies until they earned their place.
Key, did anybody ever pull something similar to that with you where you were the new guy in the league? Obviously, you know, like Iverson, you're the number one pick. Everybody's going to try you at some point when you're coming in. They want to try the new guy. They want to try the number one guy. Did anybody ever say anything like that similar to you, try to get in your head a little bit?
Oh, that was literally every time we played against somebody. I mean, it was a major, major target on my back for the first couple of years that I was in the league because when you come into – the league was such fanfare. You come in from the West Coast to the East Coast to one market at L.A., big time college, to New York, big time. You're getting ready to resurrect an entire organization. You got your own shoes, you know, signature shoes. Now, I ain't wearing somebody else's shoes. I got my own signature shoe. I got my own commercials. I got my own magazine covers. And you taking that basketball snack, crackle, pop, and you bring it to football when most of the people in football had already done something to be able to do those. Deion and all them dudes, they was already made men. But when you coming in, everybody looking at you, not only are they looking at you from a jealousy standpoint, but they want to really dissect your game because your flow is way different than theirs. You know, and so you always going to have a little bit of a – somebody with a little bit of resentment, a little bit of edge that show y'all, this dude, the number one pick overall, oh, yeah, I'm going to show him. And then they get popped and they get real humbled and they don't say nothing to you. And that's just the reality of it. I mean, I ain't – you know, I as a rookie – I mean, I don't remember my exact statistics as a rookie, but I think I had something like 9 touchdowns. I think I probably had like close to 70 catches, like about 900 yards, you know, and I didn't even start the first 4 or 5 games of the season.
But were guys coming up to you calling you names like Michael Jordan dropped on Allen Iverson?
Well, they wasn't necessarily calling name games. They was just like, you know, we're going to see what you're going to do.
Yeah.
I remember T-Mac, SC guy, Tim McDonald. And I think T-Mac was playing for Arizona at the time. He might have been playing for Arizona. Maybe it was San Fran. I'm not sure. But I specifically remember him saying something to me slick. He might have been with the Cardinals, but he said something to me real slick. And then I had to just – I got back at him, you know, and said something like, you just a safety that should be a linebacker or something along those lines. And then I bombed him. And
then, yo.
So it's just you're gonna always have a chirping.
It's got
to
be
veteran dudes going, you know, they watching you. That's all. They just watching to see how you're gonna react.
I would imagine it's got to be so surreal. And I know you've talked about this, how you saw these guys, you're like, whatever, I'm here too, and I'm gonna go do my thing. But I think for most people, that when you admire somebody like Allen Iverson did Michael Jordan, and you're finally in a room, you're finally, you know, getting ready to play against him, it's an All-Star weekend or whatever it might be, and all of a sudden you're in that guy's presence and he hits you with something like that, it's got to be terribly disorienting, discombobulated. Like, wait, what did that guy just say to me? What did he say? No, what? How do I respond? He said, I didn't even know what to say. There was nothing to say back. And that's part of Michael's genius, is Michael knew how to go with guys.
Yeah, but like AI said, I'm going to give him that work. I'm eventually give him that work. I'm going to catch you. You're going to get caught. And there's so many, you know, when you're facing like defensive backs, there's so many defensive backs that were good when I played, that were great when I played, in fact, from the Deons to the Neas Williams to the Dale Carters, all of them dudes. And when I see y'all, all I could do is give you that work. I'm not going to get caught up in no back and forth with you. Is the work is going to take care of itself, and that's how you have to approach it, much like AI did. AI say, I'm gonna catch you at the right time. I'm gonna cross you over and you're gonna fall, because
he did,
because nobody else, that's how it go. It's like when you see a dude, you say, man, I'm going to get you. I remember playing against the Giants, and I can't even think of the DB's name, but he was a DB who wanted to puff his chest up or whatever. I said, man, I'm gonna break your neck, dude. I'm gonna run you over. And right on the sideline during the game, and you know, doing a play, we ran the ball or something, and he's chirping with his coaches on the sideline, because you know, coaches in football, they like to go at it with players. As you see, Sean Payton has a history of doing that. Where I told the dude, I said, man, this dude gonna get his neck broke. I'm getting ready to hurt this kid. And I ran him over and stepped over him, just like AI did Ty Lue, and then looked down at him as I was going out of bounds. It's like, because that's just certain ways you think. You just think like that.
Take It or Shake It is coming up next on the Morning Show on 710 ESPN. All right, Key, I don't know if this is an NBA topic or an NFL topic, but let's start right here. LeBron James said he started training as a football player during the NBA lockout. LeBron James would have been a quality NFL player. Take it or shake it.
Take it.
Oh, take it.
Man, if I work with LeBron James right now, if I gave LeBron, get LeBron gave me a month right now, and I could teach him the ins and out of the films and the coverage and things of that nature, where he could recognize and have recognition of what's coming. LeBron James will go to the Pro Bowl this year. This year, right now. Having not played football since high school, if he gave me one month. All I'm asking for is 1 month. If he gave me the month of June, he'll be ready to go to training camp. And if he can learn the offense and learn the scheme and the defenses and all the different things, he'd go to Pro Bowl.
How much time would I need? How much time would you need with me to get me in the Pro Bowl?
Well, I get in trouble if I said this stuff on here. So I'm going to leave that alone. Me and you could talk about this off the air because me and you, we vibe, you know what I'm saying? Because we don't want no scratch underneath the piles and stuff when they hit you too hard.
My goodness. It's the recognition is the hard part for him to know what he's looking at. That would be the only thing you need to work on with
him. Yeah, because physically he could do it. He's going to dominate him physically. But when you don't know what and you don't see it, see, it's like driving – it's like flying driving a car, and you don't know what's at the end of the road, and you just drive right into it. You want to be able to know you can go left or right. You don't want to just go straight ahead, and it's a big sign that say dead end, and you still driving, and that's what it would be like for him. He would be having blinders on, running around, and he thinking he clear and free, and there's somebody sitting right there that he never visualized, and boom, that's all it takes. So when you know the field, and you know, okay, he's going here, he's going there, he's going to do this, and you say to yourself, well, how you know he's going to do it? Well, if he don't do it, then he's a dumbass because that's what they're designing him to do. He's supposed to do that. They're telling him to go be in that spot right there. Once he gets the defensive recognitions down and he understands it, he's going to the Pro Bowl. I promise you.
All right, let's stick with another NFL topic right here. Let's take a listen to the Colts head coach, Frank Reich, talking about his new quarterback, Phillip Rivers, and how long he might play.
I can just tell you from the previous relationship, I really believe it's Phillip's intent to play multiple years. I personally believe he is more than capable of multiple years. But as far as how the actual contract gets worked out, you know, that's it's the NFL. So we keep things realistic there. But I'm very optimistic it'll be a multi-year thing.
Phillip Rivers will play beyond one season in Indianapolis. Take it or shake it.
Take it.
Take it.
All right. Quick. That's a quick one. Take it. You know exactly what he's going to do.
Yeah, he's going to for sure do it. That's not a surprise to me. I tried to tell Adam Shefty earlier this season about Phillip Rivers joining the Indianapolis Colts, and he looked at me like I had frogs on my face. And I said, man, the one thing that you got to understand is what I always tell you, Travis. What is it? The one thing that I always tell you about players and coaches is that
they go with what they know. Familiar guys.
Familiarity, and I've been around him. He's going to be able to do it for me. Dude could be dead and underneath the rock. They'll go pick him up, dust him off, and tell you, swear up and down, oh, he can get it done for me. He's going to be the guy. We're going to give him a 2-year deal. I'm telling you, they will roll with what they are familiar with. I watched it, man, up close and personal. My first experience was Keith Byers and Dave Meggett coming to the New York Jets. And I'm sitting there going, man, them dudes was – I was in diapers when they was playing. They can't play no damn more.
And there
what
they
did
are.
We do? We took Dietrich Ward off punt return and put Dave Meggett back there. And Dave Meggett was cold at punt returning. He was ridiculous. We took Dietrich. Dietrich was cool. We took him off and put Dave Meggett back there. Got the same thing. But the coach was swearing down. We got something different. That's what they do.
Let's go to this one. There is a report out there that Oakley is working on some face masks that players will wear during the NFL season that have some of the similar properties of the N95 surgical masks. NFL football will be played with masks on. Take it or shake it.
Take it.
Take
I better
it.
Get, hold on. Hey. Pump my brakes. Shake it.
Uh-oh. Shake it. Oh, okay. Shake
hit the back up. Hit the back up.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it the face mask that you put on the helmet, or is it a mask to go on the face?
It sounds like it's going to be kind of a combination of the two, that they're going to design a face mask that will also work as a mask like we're wearing when we go to the grocery store and other places that will cover the mouth and the nose.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I really don't know how they would play with it, if it's comfortable, if it fit. I don't know, but I doubt it because it's football season right around the corner. And you see what Antonio Brown did with his helmet. Now imagine what the other players going, how they going to feel with their helmets being on.
Yeah, but if it's a matter of, hey, look, we either have to wear these things or we're not going to play, I would imagine that's a pretty easy thing to make a decision on, right?
It is, but at the same time, it's just so much – when you're messing with people's equipment, you get so much pushback. It's going to be interesting to see, but I'm telling you, you're going to get some pushback. for sure. If you altering a helmet, a people's a gear and equipment, it's going to be some major pushback. Man, they don't want you – people in football don't want you touching their gear. I mean, I had them make a mistake on my shoulder pads one time. I damn near killed the equipment manager.
Let me ask you this one very quickly.
I didn't ask you to take my damn pads out of my locker.
Ole Miss and SC are playing in 2025 and 2026. Lane Kiffin will still be the coach at Ole Miss by 2025. Take it or shake it.
Take it. Times
10. Yeah, you got it. 50 years?
Man, he going to. Lane Kiffin is there to stay. Now, they might be on probation at some point in time, but he's there to stay.
He comes with a price, Travis. He comes at a price.
He doesn't stay places for very long, by the way.
As long as you play that, nah, he's good. Because it ain't really – I mean, where is there to go other than the SEC conference? Like, there's really no – because they, as far as money go, if you win in the SEC, you're going to be on par economically with every team in the SEC. Like, if Hugh Freeze would have stayed – and not got in trouble at Ole Miss and had won a national championship or two, he'd have caught Nick Saban economically. The same thing Dabo Sweeney in the ACC at Clemson, he caught Nick Saban, so therefore he gets a $100 million deal. That would be the same way in anywhere in the SEC. If somebody go to Kentucky and Kentucky start winning and win a national championship, that person going to be at the top of the food chain. There's really nowhere else to go.
Herm Edwards, the head coach of the Arizona State Sun Devils, former NFL head coach, friend of the show, joins us next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.